friends, and welcome back to the next episode of I'm Like Anime, your source for all your anime opinions. You know, our anime opinions. You have your own, of course, and we'd love to hear them. But for now, me, George, with this guy, Tony.
Hi.
We're gonna settle in for some like, hot, steamy anime opinions.
I like the idea that we're giving their anime opinions.
Yeah.
Yes, we have opinions, and they are now yours.
We're trying to amass a community who wait on us to know how to feel about a certain anime.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Watching Realist Hero Rebuilt a Kingdom, and you're like, I don't know how I feel about this. I wonder how Tony feels about this. Oh yeah, that's how I feel about it now.
Yep.
That's what we look for.
I mean, I could tell you how to feel about it without having seen it.
Like Weezer said, I want a girl who will laugh for no one else.
I want a girl who will laugh for no reason. That's what I want.
I'm not a girl, though.
So close. So close. Anyway, how are you, Tony?
I'm all right.
We're doing a new segment where we kick off with some news. We just keep it casual. We always been rushing in here with some other anime opinions, like they're on an edge of a spear, and we're going to stab you with them. But we're going to ease into it. We're going to talk about some news and just shoot the shit.
Yeah.
There is a new... there's a problem with this one. There's a new manga app where you can read some manga. They have free manga on there, and you can subscribe. I think it's like $5 a month, and it's called Azuki.
And oh, yeah.
They have quite a few manga. They have Attack on Titan, which I think from other digital manga services, they have more chapters than the other ones. So if you've been needing to catch up on that, they have some Flying Witch, which is one of Tony's favorite shows that I covered last season, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. So that's on there as well. And there's a bunch of stuff. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. So if you're interested in that, I have not subscribed yet. I'm kind of giving it some time to add more to their catalog, but I may check it out soon.
And if you own Azuki and you want to advertise on our podcast, we accept donations of $500 a month.
No less. Okay, we'll take less. So that's a new manga app that's out. Also, anyone who's a fan of the RPG, classic RPG, Legend of Mana, if you will, they're making an anime of that. It's for a 30th anniversary, and Square Enix owns that property, but yeah, making an anime, so.
I know there are a lot of people that are fans of that game. I think they're all probably younger than me, your age, and around there. It was recommended to me very highly by a friend of mine, and so I decided to check it out, and didn't care for it. But you know, it's probably because I didn't play it in the 90s when it was, you know, good game.
Which I think there is Secret of Mana, which I think is the Super Nintendo
one. Oh, maybe that's
one.
What I'm thinking of.
And then Legend of Mana was for PlayStation 1.
Oh.
And they're making an anime of Legend of Mana.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, no, I was thinking Secret of Mana.
Yeah. But they are related. So you're not completely off base there. And I think they're both. I mean, Secret of Mana is more beloved because that's the... So I'm surprised they're not going after that one, but they're doing it of Legend of Mana.
Hmm.
So, yeah. I don't know. I'm curious. I like the idea of having more anime based on RPGs. Like, I'm a big fan of Chrono Trigger. It's my favorite video game, which is from Super Nintendo as
yes,
well.
Yes, because as we know and have discussed in prior episodes of this season, anime based on... based on video games are always good.
Well, it's yes, I agree. But there's a difference when it's like a promotional thing, when it's coming out either shortly after the game or, you know, with the game, versus like, no, this is just a, you know, story with potential that could be adapted into an anime.
Have you seen the Sonic movie?
I haven't seen it.
Neither have I. Have you seen the Super Mario Brothers movie?
Well, yeah, of course.
Okay.
That was a train wreck, but that was in the 80s. I mean, come on. I feel like somebody somewhere has learned a lesson from that movie.
Doubt it.
All right. Well, moving on. What else we got here? Okay. This one I'm excited about. Satoshi Kon as a director who died, anime director who died before his time.
I know who that is.
Yeah. He did such films as Perfect Blue. Millennium Actress, Tokyo Godfathers. I haven't seen it, but he did the show Paranoia Agent, which I'd like to cover for this podcast at some point.
I've not seen that either.
But yeah, he's a very visually intense director, and he's hailed as one of the greats in the anime film category. But anyway, there's a French documentary film coming out about him that is premiering at Cannes Film Festival this year that I'm looking forward to.
I would watch that for sure. I mean, I love documentaries anyway, but yeah.
Yeah. And we have, Tony and I have a movie night that we do with some friends. And yeah, you may look forward to that because I would definitely put that up for movie night. But yeah, we like to watch documentaries every now and then. And yeah, he's a director that I love. Perfect Blue. Tony's not big on the movies he's seen of his, which is fair, but he just really does it for me. His sensibility and his storytelling is
maybe they'll make an anime adaptation of the documentary. That would be awesome.
And we could cover that.
Just imagine that, an anime adaptation of a documentary about someone who makes anime like that.
Be so meta.
Sounds like an amazing idea, actually. I'm surprised no one's thought of it.
It could be interesting, yeah. Especially for him, I could totally see. Which especially if you've seen, we watched Millennium Actress from our movie night not too long ago, and it kind of tells this visual story of this actress's life. So you kind of got the bones there.
Yeah, like, that's true.
to make it about him.
And if you're an anime studio and you want to use my idea, $500 a month.
That's just your going rate for any.
Yeah. I will whore myself out for $500 a month.
Yep. And then he can quit his day job.
Well, I can at least reduce my hours.
There you go. What else we got? I guess we'll just end on this. The final Evangelion film, which another thing that Tony isn't into. But it is highly anticipated as the fourth and final film of the rebuild of Evangelion, which is a same director, Hideaki Anno, of the original Evangelion TV series. He's been retelling the story through these movies. And, God, it's been a journey. But this one is going to be, surprisingly, is not going to be in theaters, as far as I know. But Amazon has acquired the rights to it, at least in our country. And is going to be releasing it on August 13th. So kind of disappointed I won't be able to see it theatrically, presumably. But
I mean, it could change, I guess. It's always possible. Like those things always sort of come up. Seems like the last minute when they decide to release them in the US.
Or yeah.
Is it? But you don't know if it's coming out theatrically in Japan or not.
I mean, it already has.
Oh, okay.
It already came out in Japan. And actually, there is a they didn't change anything to the story, but they like did something to it where they updated it, and it's had a second theatrical release in Japan now, and it's earned a bunch of money. It's been huge over there, but yeah, we haven't gotten it yet. So I don't know. It'd be interesting, like if I don't know how it would work, but if somebody could show it in a theater, I would love to see it.
Fathom Events, we're looking at you.
Yeah, like get with Amazon. Does Amazon own Fathom Events? That would make this a lot easier.
They might. I don't know. Do they?
They probably own a lot of stuff, but
I mean, Amazon owns all of our souls, so you know.
This is true.
Yeah.
But as far as the Evangelion movies go, I think we're going to have to cover them. And Tony, you know, doesn't follow them. My buddy Mike and I have been, you know, highly anticipating these movies, so perhaps he and I will, I don't know, do like a special episode where we cover them.
Perhaps.
No pressure on you, but if you wanted to watch them, totally could, and just shit on everything.
I don't think you want me to do that.
But hey, I don't want you to, you know, suffer. But
I mean, so it's retelling the story of Evangelion. Is it better than the original telling of the story? I know that there are changes and it's different and stuff.
It's a drastic difference. At this point, the third movie left me puzzled, not in necessarily a negative way, but in a way that I have no idea where it's going. So it could go either way. I don't know. It could be
puzzled because of your knowledge of the previous adaptation.
Yeah, puzzled on where they're going. They completely like turned it on its head several times to where it's like it's not even recognizable.
I see.
I mean, the characters and stuff are, but like the story itself, it's like Yeah, I'm very curious to see where what sort of conclusion on a macro sense that these films are going to make.
All right, so this is a remake of just the original TV series, or is this including the End of Evangelion movies and stuff as well?
I mean, it's such a departure at this point from that it's hard to say. Like, I don't know. I imagine it'll include the End of Evangelion, but I'm imagining it to have a completely different conclusion than that did. So
the first movie is fairly similar to the first season?
Yeah.
Or?
The first movie is pretty much a direct adaptation of, like, the first six episodes, maybe. And then from there, it deviates.
Yeah.
And then by the third movie, it's completely different, like entirely different.
I don't know. I might check it out. Where can I watch it?
It's a good question. Maybe Amazon. I own the first three movies, so there's that.
I don't have a DVD player or Blu-ray player or whatever those disc things are that you have.
Those disc things. Well, we'll figure that out.
Do you have them on Betamax?
I'll have to access my vault and see. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see about that. But that concludes our news segment. But anyway, that's going to bring us into our next segment, which is covering some new shows. We're going to end this episode with closing out a show, Shadows House, that we both watched. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, we checked out some first episodes of this new summer season.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one I did not watch, Tony watched, and he's going to tell us all about how a realist hero rebuilt the kingdom.
I wish I could tell you how he did that, but the anime doesn't really go into much detail on that. Anyway, so this is a story about a guy named Soma, who is a Japanese high school kid. He seems to be nearing graduation, and he's planning to become an economist when he is suddenly summoned to another world. And basically, in order to prevent himself from being sold off to another kingdom in this other world, he decides to solve the financial woes of the kingdom to which he was summoned. He does that, apparently, and then the king of the kingdom to which he was summoned is so very impressed by his economic and financial skills that he abdicates the throne, appoints Soma as the new king, and betroths his daughter to him.
Wow, that's quite the endorsement.
Yeah, and you know, there's like a little bit of like sort of romantic-ish elements between the daughter and him that we see in this episode, and she's very tsundere towards him, as you would expect. And I don't know, like it's still fairly open on how it's going to go, what it's going to do. It definitely so. I think this is the one where after I said that I was going to watch it, I was again looking at the list of anime coming out this season, and this one included the harem tag, which is usually something that I avoid. I will generally not watch a show that claims to be a harem comedy or harem anything, as a matter of fact. I think it was this show that had that, and I haven't seen any evidence of that yet.
Okay.
But if that develops, then I will probably be dropping it. But for now,
it's okay.
It's meh. You know, it's a 5 out of 10, just like basically everything else this season for me. It's, you know, if I weren't doing an anime podcast, I probably wouldn't keep watching it. But the fact is that I am. And, you know, if I'm only watching two shows this season, I don't have much to talk about. So this is one that I'm going to hang on to and see if it's the cream of the crap, as it were.
Oh, wow. High endorsement.
yeah.
So basically, depending, because we got some new shows dropping this coming week.
Yeah, yeah. That might change things.
Yeah. If you fall in love with or are intrigued enough by a couple others, then this might just fall by the wayside.
Yeah, it's possible. Like, so far, I mean, in this week's episodes that we're recording, there's two shows that are above a 5.
Yeah.
Most are a 5 or, you know, sometimes below. So, yeah, I don't... Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. This one, I'm probably going to watch another episode of it. I mean, at this point, I would say I will watch another episode of it. I'm expecting to be disappointed, and I probably will be, and I will probably drop it. I don't know if it's going to make three episodes or, yeah. Anyway, we'll see. But yeah, it's not a bad start, but it was nothing really new or interesting or inspiring in any sort of way. You know, it was a conglomeration of stuff I've seen before. I haven't seen all of these things in one anime before, I guess, but I've seen all of these things in other animes before. So animes, that sounds weird to pluralize the word anime. Whatever. Anyway, let's move on. 5 out of 10.
All right. Well, that brings us to our next show, which is a show only I watched called Remain.
I mean, you say you're the only one that watched it, but I was here when you were watching it. I didn't watch the whole thing.
You saw part of it.
But I was, I was in the kitchen cooking some food for our movie night thing that was mentioned earlier in this episode, I believe, right?
Yeah. And for a moment, the part of the scene you saw, for a moment, you were like, oh, dang it, another show I'm going to have to add. And then you quickly rescinded that.
Yeah, there was one little bit that I was like, oh, maybe this is actually a good show with good human drama and good character. Anyway, whatever. Continue.
Well, speaking of human drama, this is a sports anime, which is, you know, that genre is known for having good, you know, maybe not good, but having a lot of drama.
Yeah.
It's a drama genre.
Jama.
Jama. It's a jama. Yeah, that's a kind of a tongue twister, drama genre. And our main premise, the main premise is a character, Minato, was in a car accident when he was in middle school, and he went into a coma for 6 months. He wakes up out of this coma in the beginning of the episode, but he doesn't remember the past 3 years. He has amnesia. He lost all of that. And within those 3 years, it turns out he was a water polo champ. His water polo team had just, you know, rocked it, and he was one of the stars, and he remembers none of it. And so that's kind of what this first episode's going for, of like a lot of the humor, if I can call it that, was based around, you know, all these people having, you know, excited to see him out of the coma, you know, his water polo comrades and some other onlookers that were really into him. And then you have his family, which is his mom, his dad, and his younger sister. And I like the aspect of it, of him, you know, with like his sister. She seemed a lot more mature to him, obviously, but seemed even more mature than he was at the time that he last remembers seeing her. You know, so an interesting dynamic where he's like, wow, like he's just, you know, thrown back by how much she's grown. And
yeah, I mean, that's probably true, because like she's maybe 2 years younger than him or something like that. So like if he doesn't remember the last 3 years and basically hasn't mentally aged for 3 years, then he is mentally younger than her, I guess, right?
Yeah. And girls tend to mature more quickly than boys. So there, you know, there's that aspect too. Yeah, it makes sense. And that was the sister aspect, I think, is, you know, as far as the drama goes, was something that intrigued you just on a passing viewing.
Yeah, really just that one scene that we won't spoil.
Yeah, which is fine. And yeah, so, you know, he wakes up in the hospital and his sister's there, and it's this all exciting thing. I don't know. This is the premise, but it just didn't really grab me, to be honest. I gave it a 5 out of 10. I mean, he goes, you know, after this, he goes back home and he's like revisiting all his things that are familiar yet alien to him. And we learn that his parents have a jean shop. They sell jeans and other trinkets, just kind of an assortment of things. And they live above that business. But then there's this whole aspect of, you know, he tells his mom, like, oh, I'm going to do the water polo thing. And then he has second thoughts about that. So at dinner, he tells his parents, I don't think I'm going to do that. And they're like, oh, okay, you know, we want you to be happy. And then clearly you can tell that they are disappointed in him. Or not disappointed in him, but disappointed that he's not going to pursue that. And he picks up on that. And so at the end of this episode, not to give too much away, but he's clearly leaning towards doing the water polo thing. There's other shows this season that I've crapped on, and I don't mean to disparage this one, but I am going to drop it. I was disappointed because it is a MAPPA production, and so I was expecting a little better looking show.
Mm.
The character art was a little, not bad, but a little crude to me, and there was an issue with the blending. Like, it didn't, the characters didn't really seem to fit in the world they were in.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I think we talked a little bit about that.
I mean, it was 2D. It looked hand-drawn. I mean, probably digitally hand-drawn, but still looked hand-drawn.
Yeah.
But like very, these 2D images layered within a digital 3D environment, basically. So yeah. It just, they felt very sort of cut out, like paper cutouts, sort of, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not trying to have that aesthetic. It like just looked kind of a little janky instead of purposeful, you know, like just not fully realized.
Mm. It's funny that you're dropping this because I wasn't planning on watching this, but because I ended up watching it with you, I'm adding it.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I do kind of want to see where the drama goes, if it picks up or yeah. So
are you deciding that right now, or did you go back and watch this episode?
I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched, basically I missed like 5 minutes of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like the opening part of it.
Yeah, which you explained to me, and then I understood it, and then I watched the rest of the episode pretty much, right?
Yeah.
It's
not bad. Like, I don't, you know, I can't say anything bad about you picking it up. It's right on that line for me.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically for me, like, looking at everything else that I watched this week, this is better than a lot of those.
Damn.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Yeah, I'm gonna watch episode 2 and see how it goes. And
cool.
Yeah,
that actually excites me because I am not, but yeah. I'm very curious to see what happens. Because it is on that line, so I wouldn't be surprised if it does pick up.
Yeah, if it gets too, you know, bogged down in the sports water polo aspect of it, then I will most certainly drop it. But like, yeah, the characters. Not all of the characters, I guess, but
there's that one character we were both annoyed by.
Yes.
That is sort of a water polo fanboy.
Well, he plays water polo as well. Like he was on the water polo team, I guess, but he wasn't one of the star members of the water polo team.
Yeah.
He's one anyway, of the lesser. Yeah. And he's pretty obnoxious and screams a lot. But then our main character also did a good portion of this episode just screaming everything that he said.
Yeah, which I guess is so sort of explained by the fact that he just woke out of a coma and doesn't remember the last 3 years, so he's, I don't know, like he's but just they, reacting to everything out loud.
They hinted pretty heavily at the drama surrounding the family due to this accident which caused his injury in the first place. And yeah, and if they keep that up to a reasonable extent, it could be a pretty interesting show. I don't know that they will. I don't really think that they will, to be honest with you. But I'll watch it. I'm going to watch it.
Okay.
Episode 2 of it. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Way to call me on my shit.
I mean, no, it's fair enough. I can totally understand you dropping it as well. You know. But
yeah, it wasn't my immediate reaction after watching it. I was like, I had to ponder it. But then the next day, I saw a couple other shows that I was more into, and it was like, I think this one...
So it's like exactly the opposite for me, because like I watched this. This was one of the early ones that we watched.
Yeah.
I watched this with you, and then after that, I've watched a whole bunch of other stuff that is below
that
this,
grab you.
Below this in my standard. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm giving this even a 6, but it's like a 5. It's maybe a high 5. High 5.
I gave it a 5 as well. So
it's high 5 versus low 5 maybe.
Yeah.
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 All right.
Well, tune into that. I'm very curious to see what you think of forthcoming episodes of that. But why don't you tell us about a show that I didn't watch?
Which one is
similarly
it?
Named instead of Remain, it's called Remake Your Life.
Remake Our Life.
Or Our Life, sorry.
Bokutachi no Remake.
It's inclusive. Remake Our Life.
Yeah, the word life doesn't appear in the Japanese title at all. It's Bokutachi, which is like us, we, whatever.
Remake us.
Yeah, our remake, I guess,
okay.
Maybe.
Which, yeah. Okay, all right.
But anyway, so this was a 50-minute, presumably double episode.
Oh, wow.
I don't think they're going to be doing 50 minutes for every episode.
Just a long premiere.
It felt like a double episode. Like, it felt like there was sort of a... I mean, they did it in a very nice way, because they, you know, had like the story, and then they did, I think it was the opening theme, and they had like the whole opening theme, and then they did the second half of the story, and then the ending theme, right? Which isn't like unusual for anime, except that the part that they did before the opening theme was like 20 something minutes, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So yeah, they did like the cold start before the credits was a full episode in and of
which
itself.
Is a bit
basically.
Strange.
Yeah. So it was interesting. Like it seems like they had planned to do it this way, not something that they just sort of jammed together at the last minute because they realized they needed to provide more character information. They realized they needed to provide more character information early on, apparently. Anyway, so this is a story about a 28-year-old man who has sort of worked in the fringes of video game production for several years. And he wakes up one day to find that his consciousness has been transported back 10 years to the day that he received an acceptance letter from a visual arts college that in his previous life he had decided not to go to because he thought it might be a little too hard. He wanted to take the easy route. He just went to a normal college, got like a business degree or something, and then hated working in business and ended up sort of going into this video game production stuff as a business guy, not really involved in the making of the video games, but like the business side of it, I guess. Anyway, and he's always sort of regretted not having gone to this visual arts college that he had applied to and really was really excited at the time that he had gotten accepted to. Like, he really didn't think he was going to. So yeah, so he goes back and he gets to do it again, basically. And I guess so. Nice art. The characters are decent, I guess. You know, there's not a whole lot to go on at this point, but they seem to have some decently developed characters. Pretty much a decent start overall. It's I would also give this one a high five. It's not quite a six. Like, it's just on the border of, so six I consider, you know, it's fine. Whereas like five is like meh. So it's somewhere in between those, but it's closer to the fine. It's just, it's not quite there.
Almost approaching.
But yeah, it's, there's likable characters. The story is at least so far somewhat interesting.
You like the main character?
In general, I suppose he's not the most interesting character. Like, he's somewhat bland, so that you can sort of imprint yourself into his role, as is the case in a lot of these. But there's other characters that are, you know, more interesting, or seem like they will be more interesting, I guess I should say, because they aren't necessarily more interesting at this point in time. It's worth checking out another episode for me. So, like I say, it's cool. Like a 5 of 10, but it's like a very high five. So,
I remember seeing the trailer for this, and because I think we had recently watched Tokyo Revengers, which we both ended up dropping, I my mind went there of like, oh, what if you could go into your past and do things differently? Which, in very general, but I like the idea that there's a specific moment, as you were just describing, that he had this admission letter into this college that he opted not to do.
Right.
And so that's like a very relatable moment. I think it probably almost everyone had, like, not specifically that, but like has a moment in their life where they were at a crossroads,
you
where they
choice,
made one decision that they may always wonder what would have happened if they would have went the other way.
Right. And so he gets to go back and redo that. And the way it's presented is somewhat interesting, because he has, you know, 10 years experience on top of all of these other students that he's going to school with. Right. Mm. Except he has experience in sort of a different field.
Okay.
Because he did work in the video game industry, but like I say, sort of on the fringes, doing like eroge and stuff like that, I guess, as a sort of business person. So at this actual arts school, he is pretty much on a level playing field with all of these other people And it's interesting, I mean, comparing to Tokyo Revengers, because he goes back to when he was a middle school student in Tokyo Revengers.
Yeah.
Which middle schoolers are annoying twerps. And this was no exception to that. But in this case, he's a college student, which is like, we've seen other, you know, remakes and stuff. Like there was, what was that one called? Re-Life, for example, where he goes back to high school and does high school again, basically. There've been a number of those redoing high school. Redoing college is sort of a new take on it. And yeah, I guess presents us with more mature characters.
And it's going for that. Like more mature, like
I think so. It's cool. Definitely seems to be going towards a more mature vibe than the redoing high school thing and just having all the feel good moments and, you know, that sort of nonsense that you would expect from that sort of thing. This, I mean, yeah, there's going to be feel good moments. I understand that. But yeah, it just feels slightly more mature.
I remember the trailer having basically showing the main character, but then just showing a bunch of ladies, almost making it seem like a harem, you know, like he was just going to be surrounded by female,
Right. So when he moves into his, dormitory, well, it's not really a dormitory. It's a shared house, I guess. So it's a house that a bunch of students rent together. They haven't necessarily met each other before, but there's like four bedrooms. Within that house, there are two females and two males.
Oh, okay.
So it's not unbalanced in that regard.
Yeah. Co-ed.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'm intrigued. Not enough to pick it up or anything, but I'm very curious to, since you're going to watch more, to see how things unfold.
Yeah, like I say, at this point, it's still a 5 out of 10. So I mean, who knows? It could go down the tubes real quick, or it could, you know, pick up. Yeah, we'll see.
Cool. Well, moving on. Next, we're going to cover a show that we both ended up watching. Originally, Tony had signed up to watch Kageki Shoujo, but when we watched the trailer, I was turned off by it simply for one
animation style, art style.
Yeah, for one trivial reason, which was their eyelashes were very thick and multicolored. And I don't know, just the trailer in particular, there was a lot of close face shots. And which, you know, whatever, it's introducing the character, isn't it? It just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I just didn't like that aesthetic. But I had caught up on all the shows that I wanted to watch, you know, that were on my list for this week, you know, per this deadline of when we're recording. And I was kind of checking out I was on Anime News Network. Just, they have their preview guide. I'll shout that out. They do every season, which I think is a nice service they provide. And I was just checking out shows I wasn't watching. And this one by far had the highest rating for the overall community, but also the individual reviewers that they have on their staff.
So, and I'd just like to say again that if you work at Anime News Network and you want to pay for a sponsorship on our show, $500 a month.
That's easy. $500. That's all. That's all it takes.
I mean, if you just want us to talk about it for a month, it only costs you $500. Super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Yeah. I mean, we have all these listeners. You want to get in on this.
I can guarantee that we will get your name in front of at least 12 people.
12 people. Think about that. Just sleep on it. All right.
That's like $60 per person. Did I do that math right? Probably not.
I'll take it. I
definitely did it wrong, actually.
But yes, Kageki Shoujo. I decided to check it out, and I was happy that I did. But I would like to turn it over to Tony, since he watched this before I did. What did you
Well, hold on. Before I get to it, since I didn't know that you were going to watch this, I wrote my full like plot synopsis sentence, basically. Okay. And I will get to that in a second. But I guess what I wanted to ask is what made you want to watch it. But you basically said that like, it was just because it was so highly rated by these people on ANN, right?
I, you know, in general, I'm into the idea of a drama, you know. I had been kind of let down by Remain, and I didn't, you know, there's a couple other things I guess could fit in that, but yeah, it seemed like I was intrigued by it. I mean, even the trailer, like, eyelashes aside,
right?
It looked, you know, interesting enough, but yeah, so it's kind of one of those things. I did this last season with those Snow White notes, It was not on either of our lists.
Right. Yeah. And that then, one I wasn't watching. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I checked out, I did the same thing where I was checking out the preview guide on Anime News Network. And that one was getting decent, not as high as this, but it was getting decent, you know, the first episode getting decent reviews. So yeah, it was kind of like that. I just like, I thought it was fun. I'm kind of like setting up a precedent for each new season we do. Mm. Where like we watch the trailers and we establish these are the shows I'm watching, these are the shows Tony's watching, and last minute I throw a wrench into it, which is kind of fun.
That's fine. I mean, that's fine with me. I am capable of doing the same thing, but because I watch so much, there's only so many things that I could add. Like, what am I going to add?
Yeah.
Like Knighthead 2041. Probably not.
Not out yet. But yes, not going to add it either.
No, not planning to. Although it does sound interesting. It might actually be worth checking out. But
although part of me was hoping you would add something because I did that last season. So well, like, oh, I can do that too.
Well, I added Remain, didn't I?
Well, that's true. Yeah.
But that's sort of almost, it's almost the opposite of last season because you added those Snow White notes and then I added it after that. Whereas this time you dropped Remain and then I added it.
Yeah, like you're dropping that? You're a fool. Well, that'd be even funnier if you watch it and you're like, this show is good, dude. And then I get back into it. That'd be awesome.
That would be cool. We'll see. I don't hold out a lot of high hopes for that, but you know, we'll see.
We'll see.
Anyway, so my one sentence synopsis of this, which might not being one sentence in the way that I say it, because I'm not going to just read it directly off the page.
I have a one sentence thing too, but
do you?
It'd be funny to see what.
I'm interested, like how much of what I say you're going to correct or add to, actually, okay. Because you know, there's only so much you can say in one sentence, right?
It's true. Let's hear it.
This story centers around Ai Narabe, a former idol who has been driven from the spotlight because she was rude to a fan, and a girl named Sarasa Watanabe, a tall girl who lives with her grandfather, who are both attending a very prestigious theater arts school. That's my one sentence.
Nice. Mine's pretty much that, but just less words. I didn't go into as much detail, which for better or worse.
I just wanted to get their names in there is probably why it was longer.
Which is cool. Yeah, I didn't include any of the stuff about I being an ex-idol.
That seems like it's going to be important, though.
Yeah, I think so. I just kept it simple. I just wrote, I can't escape Sarasa as they are accepted into a prestigious all-female theater troupe. I just kept it very bare bones.
She's not like jealous of her. She just thinks she's a weird girl, basically. Like she feels strange. But and to be fair, Sarasa is very just off the cuff,
in your face,
whatever comes to her mind, sort of
no filter.
No filter.
And yeah, we learn from I, because I didn't. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I didn't get the whole, like, she stopped being an idol because of a fan reaction. But we definitely get the sense that, like, she wants a private life. Like, she's not trying to be in the spotlight, and she does not like people noticing, recognizing her, approaching her in public, no matter who they are, unless they're, like, a close friend.
Particularly males.
Yes.
Like, that's part of the reason she decided to go to this school is because it's an all-female school, apparently.
Yeah.
It is said matter-of-factly that she was rude to a fan and that's why she was sort of driven from the spotlight. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. And yeah, definitely she had, on top of that, she has an aversion to males, which I like that aspect of her character, and I could totally, like they did a good job at establishing why that would be because I mean, guys can suck in general, but if you're an idol, they really capture like how annoying and suffocating that could be, just trying to live your normal day-to-day life, especially in Japan where they kind of go to the extra mile with fandom.
Yeah, but hers goes beyond that to some extent because there was a male teacher that was going to put his hand on her shoulder to say good job or something like that. And she just,
she's like, nope.
Yeeted right out of the way.
But then his reaction was funny because he was like, ah, I have a daughter and, you know, she's just similar. Like, I can't relate to these kids anymore.
Good characters in general. Like, we don't know a whole lot about them yet, but we have a fair amount of Ai's backstory and I guess know a fair amount about her. Sarase is more of an unknown sort of wild card, but that's just sort of her character as well, is that she's a wild card.
Yeah.
And
I like that the dynamic between the two of them is really what sold me on the show. I love how Ai is so, she just wants her own privacy and peace. And even though she has this aversion to men, it does not, you know, it does not stop there. Like, there's something more beyond that where, like, she gets a roommate, right? I think we can say that at least. But she gets a roommate, and she's wondering who it'll be. And she's already had a run-in with, is it Sarasa or Sarase?
Sarasa. Yeah, Sarasa. I said it wrong the last time.
Okay, you made me question my notes. But
no,
yeah.
Because I think I could explain why, but it doesn't matter.
She has a run-in with Sarasa where it leaves her just like, I got to get away from this girl. And then she's going to her dorm later, and lo and behold, it is Sarasa who's her roommate. And she immediately, well, she leaves, and then she comes back with all this equipment from the hardware store to set up a partition of their tiny dorm room, which is just hilarious.
Which,
like, I love
Sarasa
that.
Sarasa immediately just violates. And
yeah.
It's good character dynamic between the two of them.
Hmm. Yeah, I really like that. It went a long way for me with that.
Like, Ai needs to loosen up a little bit. Sarasa needs to maybe unloosen up.
Yeah,
I don't
chill
know.
Out, essentially.
She needs to structure her life a little bit better, although it seems to have been working for her, at least as is revealed in this episode. So
Yeah. And we'll see. I'm very curious. I like this. It kind of reminds me of a show called Kaleidostar, which is from the 2000s, I believe. And it's a show about gymnasts going to like a gymnast academy. And so kind of it relates somewhat in that way, but definitely kind of a shoujo-esque show. But yeah, I'm curious about it. And honestly, the eyelashes, because I when I started it, I was like, here we go. They didn't bother me as much. There was only a couple frames where they do like an up close shot of a person's face, and the eyelashes are just distracting. But by and large,
three very spiky eyelashes.
Yeah. And they're all like the way they're colored. They're just one color.
Yeah.
And
so
really,
instead
like,
of being
shaded,
like a black line, you know, for the outline or whatever, it's colored outlines on everything. So,
yeah. So if their hair is like her hair is blue, and her eyelashes are similarly blue, but it's like they're so thick that when you get that up close shot, it's a bit distracting for me. But but this show had enough good things going for it. I know you didn't rate it this high, but I really liked it. I gave this a 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave it a 5. It's again sort of a high 5 at this point, but I think like my impression of this was I'm probably not going to make it past 3 episodes with this show.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. I feel like it's going to go a little bit too much one way, then I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're questioning whether it'll deliver on its...
Yeah, but in its defense, it's called Kageki Shoujo, and our main character is Narabe Ai, Shoujo Ai. So anyway. Shoujo Ai?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. but hey,
she's going to a girls' school, and I don't know. It may not go deep into that territory. It may just be, you know, more of like a proper like friendship thing, which would be cool.
Well, there's like a pervy territory that I don't think either of us would be into. But if they go a romantic way, I'm not opposed to it. It just depends on how they get there. Like if they shoehorn it, then it's all is lost. But if they can, you know, naturally progress to that point, I will. I'll accept it.
Yeah, but generally when they. If it's not full out shoujo Ai with like the perviness and everything like that, then usually it's that very uncommitted romantic nonsense that we get. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I mean, in this, probably are they actually into each other or aren't they? Sort of thing. I don't know. We'll see. There's this show has a long way to go.
Yeah.
We just got one episode and we've seen no hint of even that.
And that's what's hard about rating a single episode. Cause it's just hard, but I agree with you, but I will say in defense that the Ai's character, I give Matt big props to, because she's not a self-insert character. Like she's not this bland wishy-washy person. Like she has a specific proclivity.
She is a defined character.
She likes. Yeah. And I'm into that. And I like how they're already clashing and how they set that up. So I'm already invested.
Is Sarasa the self-insert? I mean, she's the wild card, so not really, I guess, yeah. Right?
And we don't know much about her, like you said, so I think that's intentional. Like, we're going to learn more about her as things go on. And I don't know. I mean, you know, it could just collapse on itself. But at this point, it's got me intrigued, and I am very curious.
And I'm hopeful. That's what I'll say.
Okay. Intrigued and hopeful. These are the emotions we bring you on the Unlike Anime podcast. All right. Well, that's Kageki Shoujo. Why don't we transition, shall we, into a show that you watched called The Honor Student at Magic High School.
Yeah. All right. So I don't even have a synopsis of this one. It's just I'm just going to nope this one. I feel like there are probably people that like the other Magic High School series.
Irregular at Magic High School, yeah.
That will probably like this because it's probably similar to that. This isn't a bad show. It's just, it's not really my thing, and I don't really have any real descriptors to give to it. Like I say, it's a fine show for those people.
I mean, the original show has this whole dynamic of this character wanting, you know, being in love with her brother, essentially.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I learned.
See, I know nothing about the original show.
And so I suspected this would be in a similar vein.
This has that, yes. Okay. I wasn't going to get into it, but...
I mean, enough said, right? I mean,
the first, like, two-thirds of the episode are this girl basically just being really in love with her brother. And then there's all this weird, like, magic society stuff behind the scenes, under a cloak sort of stuff that's going on that I don't really care because I watched, like, you know, 20-ish minutes of this girl just fawning over her older brother.
To be honest, I don't want to have sex with my older brother, so I can't relate.
Or younger sister.
Not either.
Yeah.
So fair enough.
It's not bad, like the way that it's presented. It's not like H-y or anything like that. It's just, it feels weird. And, like actual story that was in it was pretty minimal other than the few things that I mentioned. I basically just give this a 5 out of 10. There are people out there who will probably absolutely love this show.
I'm sure. Devout fans of the,
I'm just not one of them. So
nothing wrong with that.
No insults, no hate, no judgment to anyone who likes this show. I could see myself liking this show, in a different life, but just not this one.
All right. Well, that concludes our new shows for this episode. We have some more. We're going to continue rolling out our thoughts on new shows that are debuting. But to round out this episode, we will be concluding a show that we both watched and have liked, Shadow's House.
Shadow's House!
Whoop, whoop. And this ran just a week late I think it started a week late.
Ran 13 episodes instead of, like, normally with it starting a week late would only run 12. But I guess they needed 13 episodes to conclude this story, which, I mean, they did.
Yeah.
They could have structured it differently so that they didn't have to, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Shadow's House, episode 13. All I've got is, like, a plot synopsis here. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I have that as well. I mean, this is picking up from the last episode where Emilia Ko had been kidnapped. Kate was going in to save her, dressed as I forget what they're called, but the...
I forget too.
Yeah, the veiled dolls.
Yeah, that's what they're called.
And so she had already snuck in there and she had already found where Emilia was. And then the cliffhanger was Edward's right behind her. The big bad of this season is standing right behind her. And so we pick up from that.
Well, we pick up from like a minute before that because we see all of that again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you gotta get that. That's fair enough. You know, you're gonna.
Yeah, sure.
Get to show a little bit of where we left off. And essentially, like, I was expecting a little more, but it just kind of got us out of the situation but left most of everything else open. which is a bit disappointing.
And raised new questions.
Yes. I mean, it totally set it up for a second season, which there's been no news of that being confirmed or not, but I will gladly take it. One thing I did love about this episode is just a cute design, but it's a soot sprite that has a little white bow. Mm-hmm. And we had seen this little soot sprite in the past couple episodes in the corner. If you're paying close attention, if you're running across the floor at the end of a scene or something. But that little soot sprite turns out to be very helpful. It helps Kate and Emilico both escape Edward. And then in the meantime of them doing that, John shows up, who's in love with Kate. Mm-hmm. He also dresses as a veiled doll, sneaks into where Edward is, and he helps them escape also. So it's good he showed up there, I guess. Mm-hmm. Happenstance. But yeah, they essentially get away from Edward and then he chases them back. Yeah,
into the children's wing.
Yeah.
And then some of the star bearers find him there, literally threatening the children of the children's wing.
Yeah.
And, of course, report him to grandfather and the third floor cronies. And all the third floor cronies are like, oh, you're going to be totally excommunicated. You're out of here. You're going to be banished from Shadow's house. And grandfather's like, this will do with a stern reprimand or something like that. Like, what?
Yeah. So that's what, and this takes me back to something we had speculated. I think actually you had speculated not too long ago, because it's like, if I was expecting something to happen to him, to be some sort of repercussions, right?
Mm, right.
But yeah, they completely dashed all of that. And so my mind went to is something you had said, I think, where maybe the Lord Grandfather, I don't know, maybe there's something going on where he wants to bring someone new into the fold. He doesn't like the people he's surrounded with, but he can't rightly just oust them all. I'm not sure. Like, it seems like he has unilateral control, but
I mean, for what I was suggesting when I said that was that, like, he was somewhat in favor of Kate and Emilico,
okay, you know,
making it through, basically, because they would... My idea was they would sort of help destroy or bring the fall of Shadow's house to pass. But if that's what he actually wanted, then he would have gotten rid of Edward.
You would think, yeah.
So now I'm thinking maybe Lord Grandfather just wants to be entertained.
That could be. He knows they're going to clash again.
Right, which is sort of something that was hinted at with the third floor people also, you know, sort of being entertained by the debut, right?
That's true. That's true.
So, yeah, so maybe that's his thing. Maybe he just wants them to duke it out for his amusement. We don't know. It doesn't really go any further in that regard.
Yeah, and that was disappointing, because one complaint I've had of this show, I mean, I've enjoyed it throughout, but it's just, I've needed a little more with these bad guys, so to speak. Like, we, you know, they show us them and we get a little bit of insight into what they're about, but not enough.
They're all cloaked in shadow.
Yes.
As it were.
Perhaps a bit too much.
Maybe.
Like, for this episode, one of my notes was not much resolved or revealed, needs more story. And they definitely set it up for that, but
a lot of stuff hinted at, you know, for future anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you talked about our cute little soot sprite.
Yes, that's the other thing, yeah. Okay. The only other thing I was going to bring up, but yeah.
Yeah, so our cute little soot sprite, we don't know where she's from or anything about her, although we've seen her a few times. I think it's at the very end of this episode, right? We see her sort of go back and climb up onto a human hand and wrap herself around a finger and tie herself in a bow. So it's like a little soot bow. And this reminds us of Rummy, who was Rummy was the bow that Rum had on her finger that she would talk to.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't able to talk to Shirley, who was her shadow master.
Yeah. And she met an untimely end.
Yes. They both presume. Well,
yeah, we saw Shirley
Shirley
disintegrate.
Did. Yes.
But Rum, they were just told that she was executed or taken care of.
Yeah, banished or whatever. Who knows? Yeah. But yeah, so this sort of raises questions like that bow that Shirley was talking to the whole time, was that actually a bow or was that part of Shirley's shadow soot that she was talking to? And so she was like literally talking to Shirley when she was talking to Rummy.
Which is
right?
cool.
So it opens up a whole new ballpark. And it's nice to see, you know, Rum and I guess in some way Shirley maybe making a comeback in this story.
Like it's cool to know that Rum's still alive. And I wonder too with I like what you're speculating, but then I wonder too that if maybe Shirley disintegrated right like in Rum's arms essentially. So I wonder in that regard if the soot, you know, her hand was right there and it imbued itself, like that soot sprite was created from her, like she lives on in that soot sprite, maybe?
So
something like that, you know?
So sort of either way, like that soot that tied itself around this human finger, which we're assuming is Rum. We don't know that that's whose finger that is. But
seems that way.
Whichever way it goes, we're almost certain that that's Shirley if it's Rum's finger, right? Mm. Which is the only thing that really makes sense.
Yeah.
So whether it was always a soot bow tied around her finger or if when Shirley disintegrated, the little bit of her that remained made itself a bow around Rum's finger.
Yeah.
Either way, like we know that little soot sprite that was running around and helping Kate and Emilico and everyone was Shirley.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is cool. I like that. That's the best part of this episode.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's not wrapping anything up. It's opening something else for the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Wrapping things up, yeah, it's all done really sort of matter-of-factly by the book, like, they escape and they win and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing very exciting with the wrapping up of things.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because I'd rather be more excited about the future than the past. So I think I'm okay with it.
And off mic, we had compared this a little bit to Wonder Egg Priority, which had recently had a final episode that was much anticipated and it was disappointing to a lot of people, us included. But for me, there are similarities, but with the Shadows House ending, it leaves it open for more, which I think is more appropriately fitting for the show itself. Like, it would have been too much to wrap everything up in this last episode. Like they would went to great lengths and it wouldn't have seemed believable it would have belied all the pacing up to this point.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a good move, but I just hope we get more. Like it's just a gamble.
Yeah. If we didn't get any more, that would be kind of sad. Whereas with,
Wonder Egg.
Yeah, so they're similar in the way that they both, you know, very conveniently wrap up a lot of things, and they also don't wrap up a lot of things.
And they set it up for more, whereas I feel like Wonder Egg should have ended. Like, it was appropriate to end it, but they didn't. They couldn't commit to it.
Right, yeah. And they could have wrapped more things up if they were going to end it, but they chose not to end it and chose not to wrap those things up because of it. Whereas with Shadow's House, if they had wrapped it all up and ended it, it would have felt really bad, I think.
Yeah.
You know? So the fact that they sort of left it open and gave us hope for the future, you know, like Rum and Shirley is sort of that hope, right? Mm. Whereas with Wonder Egg, there was no hope. It was just like, oh, I'm back. I'm going to do some more things.
Oh, there's more?
Yeah. It felt very false and just sort of pushed in there.
Yeah, forced. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. But yeah, I mean, overall, if we don't get more, it's disappointing. Mm. But I've enjoyed the ride of this. It's been a 7 out of 10 for me, and remains the case.
Yeah. Overall, I would give it 7 out of 10. This particular episode, I actually have 5 of 10 written down, but now that we've talked about it, I think I'm at a 6 of 10 because I didn't really factor in the whole Shirley hopefulness stuff that was going on, which gives a little bit of a boost, I think, over a 5 out of 10.
I agree with that, yeah. 6 is more appropriate. But yeah, I hope we get more. I mean, I know it's based on a manga, so if I'm forced to, maybe I check that out.
Give it a couple years if we don't get anything.
Yeah.
Read it.
There you go. You heard it here.
And is that everything we got?
That wraps us up, my man.
Wow. We didn't spend as much time talking about Shadow's House as I thought we were going to, but this episode seems to be appropriately sized for us. You know, probably somewhere about an hour by the time I'm done talking and wrapping it up. So anyway, if you are watching any of these shows, if you're watching shows that we're not watching, if you feel differently about shows than we feel, if you feel there are shows that we should be watching that we're not, you know, if you have feelings, talk to us. Talk to us about your feelings.
Yeah, well, we can talk about those feelings.
If you want to talk about our feelings, we're fine with that too. Let's talk. Let's chat.
Your feelings are stupid.
Anyway, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, yada yada yada, at Umlike Anime, UMLIKEANIME, and we're on YouTube, and we've got our own website, which is umlikeanime.com, same spelling as what I said before. Yeah, talk to us. We like to hear from you. We just like to know people are listening and care enough about what we're saying to react to it in some way. Tell us we're trash. We'll love it. I almost swore. I held it back. yeah, that's it. That's all I got. Good night.
See you guys.